to bless you, to encourage you, to remind you just who you are in God's kingdom and what it means to be a child of God and the blessings that come that way. This world is like a cancer to Christianity. It tries to destroy, tear apart, break down, dissolve, deteriorate Christians. And I'm not going to give any applaud to the world, but I will say that Christians, all of us, we need to be reminded of just who we are. I want to remind you that bad things happen on this cursed earth. Without warning, things happen that can challenge your character, your basic makeup, your emotions, your motivation, challenge the very root of your beliefs. And I want you to turn with me now to Philippians in chapter 4. Starting with verse 11, and I'll read till the 13th verse. We'll spend a lot of time with the 13th verse today, but we will include 11 and 12 further on in the message. The message is entitled distinctly and deliberately to speak this into your life, Living Strong in the Kingdom. Living strong in the kingdom. You know, the Spirit of the Lord just showed me to say something to you. And I don't really want to, but I always obey Him no matter what, even if it's something that I don't want to say. You know, even as a pastor, there are struggles that come. Even as a man of prayer, there are deep, deep wrestling moments that appear, not on the horizon, but suddenly appear, that can change the way the day looks. Phone calls, texts, Facebook stuff that people write can challenge. Family members can challenge the very joy that you wake up with. But listen to these words that Paul wrote, a man that understood what I just said more than anybody. Of course, not more than Jesus Christ. But as someone that is outside the realm of that name, who doesn't own that name, isn't given that name at birth, but has followed Jesus, writes these words, I do not speak because I have need. For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Oh, if the church would learn this. No matter what state. And I'm not talking about just a state that you may not show everybody. I'm talking about outward appearance. I'm talking about smiling. I'm talking about showing joy. Stop letting the enemy attack you at the very base of your belief system that robs your confidence in God. Thank you for that, amen. I sense that myself. I know both how to face humble circumstances and how to have abundance. What he's saying is, you know, I know what it is to be broke. And I know what it is to be able to eat at the finest restaurant in town. Everything and in all things I have learned the secret. Now listen, the secret, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Here's the secret. I can do all things because of Christ who strengthens me. That's a personal word to anybody that's born again. I can do all things. I love the word all because it includes all. If you look up the definition of all, it is simply all. Everything. If you look up the definition of null, that means there's nothing there. All things. Things, if you look up the definition of things, it just covers everything. A thing is indescribable. Did you see that thing? Well, what did it look like? I don't know, but did you see that thing? A thing is something that we give some sort of a title to, such as thing. It's a word in our English language that embraces anything if we don't have a name for it. What's that thing you got in your hand? What's that you're eating? What kind of food is that? Does it taste like chicken? We always try to put some sort of a title on something. We don't know what the thing is. I can do all things. How many is willing to go on this journey with me in this message? Because of Christ. Not because of somebody you know. Not because of what your last name may be or what your culture is or where you work or the car you drive or the clothes you wear or the neighborhood that you live in or the school that you may attend. It's because and only because of Christ. You are who you are because of Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can strengthen you. The only one that can help you. Now let me stop here before I really preach for a moment. Our nation is full of addiction. Addiction to stuff that people think that they would never get addicted to till they get addicted to it. Prescription drugs. Pornography. Anger. Hatred. Fear. Loss, grief, emotions that become part of your life, or addictions that cause your body to cry out for more, that causes your mind to lie that you have pain. This is a world that we're living in today that needs one thing, and that is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. If there's anything that I could say I could be addicted to, I would say I would be addicted to Jesus. Amen. There was some old rock and roll song a long time ago, and it just went through my mind. I can't remember the name, and it said that I am addicted to love. Now everybody goes, I remember that one. I say, are you addicted to Jesus? And you go, you see, there's something going on in the world today that we've lost the, may I say it, the flair for our relationship with our Savior. The church has become comfortably numb. That important relationship, that excitement, and when you first gave your heart to the Lord, somebody said, wow, you look different, and your answer was, is because I met the Savior. Yes. I'm born again. Amen. Oh, my burdens have gone away. Hallelujah. Jesus has entered into my heart. I'm forgiven of all my sin. I'm on my way to heaven. Praise God. And you can sing that song. Heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Or you could sing a song that I love deeply, and how I love to hear it sung is Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising the Savior all the day long. Perfect submission. Perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercies, whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. When Francis J. Cosby in 1883 wrote this song, Sister Crosby literally was playing, and she said, I wonder how this sounds, and this is how it came up. They said, it sounds like a blessed assurance. So they entitled it Blessed Assurance. It doesn't say, this is my story, this is my song. Oh, poor me, I'm going through it all day long. It's saying that this is my story, this is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. The first thing we need to understand is what we've lost, but we can gain again by remembering who He is in your life, not remembering what you're going through. Tell them I'm busy, call back later. Confidence. We need confidence again in our walk, in our step, in our sense of relationships within the body of Christ, within a church whereby we belong, or a movement whereby we have embraced, and that movement has embraced us. a confidence in personal relationships. It's dreadful to my heart to think what the enemy has done in churches. Brought division and despair and the decline. A conviction we need, a self-assurance, a certainty of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. More than anything that I know is that I am saved. Amen. Above all that I go through on days that I don't warrant the grace that He gives me, I know one thing, that I am saved. I'm watching a world decline around me. I'm watching family decline around me. I'm watching friends separate and decline. But I remember the one thing that I know is Jesus Christ is the restorer of all that I just mentioned. He's the restorer of the breach, the Bible says. He's the bridge from the shore to shore. He is the one that cannot divide but bring back together the grace and the mercy whereby we so desire every day. Amen. Self-assurance. Don't let the enemy take your convictions from you. Your confidence from you. Your certainty of who you are. Every day there's a battle going on for your soul. For your place in the kingdom. Have you not noticed what is happening throughout our nation and throughout this world? Explosions. Death. Criminal activity, child sex trade. And yet the body of Christ seems to have her head in the sand instead of rising up in prayer and fasting. Believing God at His word. Believing that we are born for such a time as this right now. I say to all of you today, by the sound of my voice, rise up. Rise up. Rise up above your circumstances. Rise up above your problems. Rise up above every situation that is crippling you and causing you to walk slower and you've lost your leap. As the deer panteth after water, so doth my soul panteth after thee, O God. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of heaven divine or glory divine. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Can you say that with me? Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Praise His mighty name. Secondly, we've lost courage in prayer. We've lost courage in the battle. We want somebody else to fight it for us. Courage, that resolution, that bravery, and that fearlessness that we should have in prayer. In the tearing down of sin and the confronting thereof of what sin does to a human being. Have you ever seen what sin does to somebody? It can change their complexion. It can change their countenance. It can change their condition of life. And it scars them physically for life oftentimes. many understand what a memory is? How many understand that God gave us memory? And how many understand, and I know you know what I'm saying here. You're obviously intelligent enough and spiritual enough to understand what I'm trying to bring across into your spirit as a reminder of what we need daily is that confidence and that courage. But that memory that we have can actually be used against us. Daily, I say, I take every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ Jesus. If there's anybody that can talk about memories, it would be me. A horrible childhood, gangs, fighting, drugs. Smuggling, overdosing, violence. I don't have to think about those things. I'm saved. They have no crippling effect on me. I don't walk with a limp. I'm not missing an arm. I'm not missing a limb. I'm not unable to speak. I certainly can hear, and God has blessed me with sight. I don't allow memories to cripple me. I love the memories of being saved, delivered, set free, called to preach, baptized in the Holy Ghost in power, writing my first sermon, preaching my first sermon, even though it wasn't the way I sound now, I remember preaching it. I preached it all day long in my bedroom, in Kathy and I's bedroom in Corralitos, California, overlooking 2 or 3 acres of fine property and seeing the ocean afar off the Monterey Bay. I remember marching up and down that room next to that bed. No, by the way, the bed that my daughter Erin was born in. Preaching. And you know what the message was? The message was how shepherds have taken advantage of their flock. And we're not shepherding them according to the Word of God. I remember growing in the ministry, and I remember taking my first church. 6 people, $300 a month, and I had faith. And Kathy and I and the 4 children had faith to live in the basement. Aaron was in a crib. Mikey was only this tall, and he was breakdancing at that time like Michael Jackson and spinning on his head. Jonas was into baseball, huge, and Aloha was just Aloha. All the time being a leader and all the time having something good to say. And playing in the sports of soccer. I remember saying to that church clerk, how are we going to take care of you and your wife and your 4 children when we only have $300 a month coming in and there's only 6 of us in this church and the church is falling apart physically? How are we going to take care of you? And I had enough conviction and enough courage to look back in his face and says, you're not, but God is. Yeah. Drug deals were going outside of the back door of the basement, right up the stairs, those cement steps. They were selling meth right there in the evening time. And I'd go outside and I'd say, gentlemen, this is the pastor. Come on in the church Sunday. And they did. They got saved. Yeah. memories can be good. Memories can be bad. I pray this often to God. Remember the good that I have done. God has a memory too. And what do you want God to think about you? Always being bummed, unhappy, unfaithful, inconsiderate. I'm not describing my congregation. I'm just saying what can happen to people's lives. No prayer life. Never seeking the face of the Almighty God, the one who gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that you may be saved and have eternal life. You shall never die. And then he gave you the Paracletos to walk along your side, to comfort you, to speak truth into your life, and to tell you things that are going to come, to forewarn you. Courage to fight any battle because you've got your shield of faith on. And you remember that he is a shield about you and the lifter of your head. That he is a shield to his anointed. And then the last thing that these two bring, though, is what we seek every day in our life. And may I preach just a little bit longer to you today. What we want more than anything in our life, if you ask anybody to be honest, they want contentment. I have served in this kingdom for 42 years. And even prior to that, in the world, living in sin, in a harsh world, endangering my family every day. Every day. Serving in the military, seeking this one word. Being raised in a family that I have just described to you that was very difficult for me as the youngest, unwanted, not hugged. I'm a hugger. You know, I'm a hugger because I didn't get them. That one word, contentment. If I ask you to be honest, a rhetorical honest right now, but if I ask you to be honest, how many would just stand on their feet and say, I want contentment in my life right now? My life is just a ball of different bands of strings that are pulled together in my life that are tightening and loosening at all times, and I'm having a hard time containing my identity. Have confidence in who you are. Be courageous in what you do. If that hill seems too high to climb, climb it anyhow. If that water looks too deep to get across it anyhow. Don't let the enemy of your soul shackle you with unbreakable, unbearable burdens and shackles. Knowing and recognizing your place in the kingdom of God gives you confidence. If you can recognize that and who you are and what God has for you and what he has for you every day is really powerful. Really, really powerful to when we know what God is for us. Along having confidence and courage is also a character that comes with embracing your place in the kingdom. What is your place in the kingdom? Where do I fit? It doesn't matter if you're a doorkeeper. It doesn't matter if you're a general administrative bishop. What matters is you know who you are in the kingdom, where you can say, I am kingdom strong. I believe in the word of God. I believe whatever is written in this incredible book called the Bible that speaks to my heart every day I read it and jumps off the pages into my spirit. The promises of God come alive in my life when I read it. That I am kingdom strong. That I am living in the kingdom with great confidence, because confidence and courage will bring the results that I desire every day. And along with it will bring contentment. I love what he said to Joshua. May I read it to you, because it's a section of the Bible that I remind myself all the time, in Joshua 1, 6 through 7, and also verse 9. Be strong, be courageous, for you shall provide the land that I have swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance for this people. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't step back from the enemy. I've given you the power to be overcomers. I've given you the power to walk through the fire and not be burned. I've given you the power to challenge lions in the lion's den. I've given you the power to speak my word. I've given you the power to pray, and I will answer. I've given you the power to lay hands on the sick, and they shall be healed. I've given you the power to do greater things than I have even done. Be strong and courageous. The waters I have separated before you. The walls I have pressed down before you. Kings shall fall at your feet, and kingdoms shall be defeated by my word that you speak. The kingdoms of darkness shall roll back. The light of the gospel shall shine through you, and salvation will be your path. Be strong and very courageous, in order to act carefully in accordance with the law that my servant Moses commanded you. In other words, if you're going to draw from history, draw from people that were courageous, confident, and content. Draw from history. Stop drawing from the well of dryness, from the pit of despair, and the rivers that have no water. It's nothing but a dry bed. Draw from the waters of life, for out of your belly shall come forth rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Do not turn aside from it to the right or to the left, so that you may succeed wherever you go. The reason failure comes to a Christian is because they keep looking the wrong way. Look up and see that I am God. Yeah. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God meets you at work. Before your feet hit that floor in the morning, he's prepared your day. Before you have your first cup of beverage in the morning that enlightens your day, God has prepared the sun to shine upon your face and to give light to your path. He has given you discernment to choose what is the difference between good and evil every day. And every day, even more so today than ever before in history, good and evil is being presented to the body of Christ. And sadly to say, evil is being chosen more than good. Jealousies, judgments, and criticisms are evil. Yeah. We should consider the other better than ourselves every day. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first, the Lord Jesus Christ said. You shall not wash me, Jesus. No, I will not let you. If I do not wash you, Peter, you will have no part with me. Allow the Lord to touch your spirit once again, to massage the very heart that He put in there, that is in place of the heart that you once had of stone. Allow Him to touch your lips and anoint your tongue, that when you speak, change will come to the hearer's mind and heart. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, and I am His. It's not a one-sided unity. He is there with us, you and I. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Number one, you are righteous. Righteous means you have right standing before God. So that means when you enter the throne room of grace, how boldly? Boldly means you're not afraid to come in. Boldly means you have a belief that you know that He is God and there is no God before Him. Boldly believes that you know His word is true and it's alive in you. Boldly means that your mind has been renewed daily by the washing of His word. That you may obtain mercy and grace to help in a time of need. My God, there are people, even by the sound of my voice, that probably have a time of need. Get in there boldly. Stay in there till you receive. Don't leave empty-hearted. Leave full of God's love and power, that your hands will make the difference in your day. Romans 8 and 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Every day, I'm reminded who my Father is. You see, maybe some of you did, but I have a good Father. I have a Father that lied to me, that beat me. My brothers told me a story the other day on the phone. My brother Mike, my oldest brother. He said, do you remember when we were there and Dad did all that for us that day? I said, Mike, I don't know that. I wasn't there. He said, yes, you were. I said, no, I wasn't. Because you could be in the presence of someone that may be your father or may be your parent, but you're not there. Is somebody here with me today, or am I preaching to a group of people that just want to listen to me speak? Dare not me ever speak anything that God does not want in your heart. I've had a father that when I ran to him for compassion, he beat me, knocked me out with his fist. When I needed a band-aid on my finger, he took a cane and wrapped it around my thighs of bamboo style. I had a father that didn't care for me. But now when I wake up, I am reminded daily that I have a father that cares. And when I'm asked about a memory, yeah, I was there. Because he included me. When I needed passion, he gave me passion along with compassion. And when I ran to him hurt, he didn't push me away or beat me. He embraced me and held me close till the pain goes away. Every day, I'm reminded, I am kingdom strong. I am not kingdom weak. I am kingdom strong. Romans 8 and 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. We got a future. We're joint heirs. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We got a future. A future. And he deals with this word he used in 8 and 17. In 8 and 18, he said, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time. He didn't deny that we would suffer. But we need to be strong. Don't let your suffering overtake you. Don't let your suffering push you down to the ground and make you feel like you're a worm or some sort of a dog or some sort of a displaced child that no one loves and no one cares for. He said, for these sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. I'm looking for that revealing. I'm knowing that revelation is just over the mountain. This earth only offers us pain, loss, frustration. But God offers us healing, gain, and faith. We serve a God who just simply loves us. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be kingdom strong. He fights every battle for us. Amen. He's there. The only reason David won against Goliath is because Goliath messed with God. And David had enough sense to realize that. We sometimes, the body of Christ sometimes, think that the devil's messing with us. No, 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 no. He's messing with the God of Israel. Who changes not. Who's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hebrews chapter 13. And he also said in the same chapter, I shall never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. He also says in Hebrews 6 and 19 that he is the anchor of our soul. Let the winds blow. Let the winds blow. Let the hurricanes blow. We are sanctioned in the harbor of his hands. He's the sustainer of our life. Amen. Galatians 6 and 9. Now hear me. Hear this clearly. And let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not give up. There are too many give uppers. In the body of Christ. Not going my way, I quit. Not feeling the love, I quit. I don't get the pats on the back, I quit. How come everybody else is getting blessed but me, I quit. Never, ever, ever give up doing good.
I served in the helping the homeless since 1977. In fact, that's where I preached my first sermon to 60 homeless people, and I forgot what to say to them. First sermon was simply, after walking in the bedroom all day long, I had it down now. I don't do that anymore. I realize that didn't work for me, so I didn't ever do that again. But I'm going to tell you right now, the only thing I could say was, thank you. And my lip was sealed and glued to the top of my teeth because my mouth was so dry. So the thank you sounded like thank you. And I looked around for confidence from all my peers and my pastor. And everybody was like this. No one that loved me and knew me except for my wife was staring at me. My mother-in-law wasn't looking at me, and that would freak me out because she loved me. My pastor was looking out at me. My two friends that I see all the time in Costco, now we meet all the time in Costco. We see each other all the time. They were looking the other way. Everybody was looking the other way except for the homeless people. They were waiting for me to do something. And I walked off the stage. But I never gave up. I knew I was called. I knew that I could someday carry God's word and deliver it to the hearts of God's people, whereby change would come, confidence would be restored, courage would be there, and contentment would be part of their life. I was walking in the power of His light and His might. Every day. When I served those streets, when I served later in Salida, California, in an impoverished church of country people, laying hands on the sick and they were healed, hearts were restored. When I went to San Lorenzo and we served in Oakland in the parks in Oakland, and everybody told me, don't preach because there's a bunch of prostitutes and gang members. Don't get up and start preaching because I'm worried about it. I know this park. And I said, forget it, I'm preaching. And they came to the altar and they got saved. Power of His might. And one guy, Jesse, was there, and he told me, you know what, Pastor? I said, what's that, Jesse? He said, I used to come down to this park all the time, and when I was out of heroin, I would go down to the creek, and I would shoot the creek water in my arms just so I could feel like I was fixing myself. I'm glad you preached, he said. He said, I wish I would have heard you back then. But now I'm saved and working there with you. And I went to a great church who talked to me about God in Oakland. And he said, I came then to your church and you took me further. I said, I didn't take you further. Jesus did. Jesus did. You see, together we can be kingdom strong. Together. And when I came into Chicago and I took people down into the lower whacker, into the ice cold cement and the caves underneath Chicago where you'd look 500, 600 feet into a cave and you'd see a small burning campfire, I walked back to them and I sat with them. I took my shoes off and gave them to them. I took my winter coat off and gave it to him. I stood up and turned a man over that was vomiting and just picked him up with the vomit getting on my hands and turning him over so he wouldn't drown. I walked up into the deck area where all the homeless were sleeping. And I walked up there and a guy jumped up with a shovel, was coming at me. And this one giant of a homeless guy jumped up. He said, "That man's a preacher. You touch him, you're going to have to mess with me." I said in my mind, "Oh, thank you, God. You put that giant of a man right there instead of that shovel across my head." But I looked back to where all my associates were. My wife was with me. The associates. They ran back to the van and locked the doors. You see, can I say this? Too many Christians are running back to their vans and locking the doors. And we went into Santa Cruz, and many of you served with Kathy and I down there and were there faithfully. I never got lice. Did you? Anybody else? I never got scabies. No. I never got any scabs from staff. I shook many of hands, hugged many a neck. I used to put Rid on their chests after they had lunch with us and they were kind of half drunk. Anyhow, they ate and went out to sleep in the parks. I would buy Rid and put boxes on their chests so when they woke up, they would be able to go shower and get rid of the lice. Never gave up on them. What am I saying? I'm saying this to all of us. He never gave up on us. What right do we have to give him a kingdom weakness? We need to be kingdom strong. Let me close with these two scriptures, if I may. Psalm 61 and 3. "For you have been a refuge for me and a strong tower from the enemy." Wow. How many has ever run to that tower? How many has ever got on their knees and cried out to God, "Here I come"? If there's a crack in the door open, God, I'm getting through it. I need you. The battles wore me down. I'm weary from the fight. I need a refreshing from you, God. I need your touch. I need your voice. I need to be in your presence, God. I need you to be a refuge for me at this very moment. I need you to be a bulwark that faileth not. A shelter from the storm. A pavilion whereby I can rest and find peace. An altar whereby I can grab the horns of that altar and cry out to you and praise you. Proverbs 18 and 10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." I can't tell you the number of times that this preacher has run to the name of Jesus. I can't tell you the number of times in prayer that I've called out your name, because I know you're struggling, to that name that's a strong tower, that God would give you safety from this battle you're in. I know what it is to be alone. Not since I've been married. My wife has helped me. God has blessed me with a woman of God that has helped me. She knows me better than anybody. But I've never known what it is when I get in his presence to be alone. He's there. He is there. He replaces every loss with His power, His anointing, and His love. He takes every thought and molds it into a blessing for your life. He takes every hope and makes it a star so bright in the sky that you never lose sight of it. He takes every dream and allows you to dance in it, knowing that one day you will dance in the fullness of that dream because He's promised you that. You're safe in Him. You're safe in Him. You know what, church? Your kingdom strong. Your kingdom strong. Your kingdom strong. Praise His mighty name.